Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 12, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, rebuke me not in anger, a chastened sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? And what follows? Psalter 12, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 12, the verses 1 through 15. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hebrews 12, the first 15 verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few times chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Daniel and Sandra Nisawa, with the sudden death of Daniel's brother, Ekomaga of Malawa, Africa, at the age of 39 years, and Mrs. Marion Clock, who was scheduled for surgery this Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our most merciful, ever faithful, and ever good-doing God, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of all the earth, then thou hast granted unto us and our children another Sabbath day, a day which thou hast given unto the children of men in thy wisdom and in thy goodness, that we may rest from our labors, that we may come together to worship thee, pertaining to the things of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may it please thee to impress upon all of our hearts because by nature it is not found. An impression of thy goodness and of thy patient long suffering were in the past week, that thou wast spared us, that thou wast cared for us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we were called to be. Then in the realm of nature, then thou granteth rain, and thou grantest sunshine. Then in the past week, then thou wast not dealt according to our many sins. Because if thou had done so, we would no longer have a place in thy house. Lord, may it then be all thy goodness and all thy mercies that draws us unto thee, closer to thy holy word, with an eye upon thee. Then a couple in our midst, they have received the heavy tidings that a brother suddenly ushered into eternity. Wilt thou remember? Wilt thou uphold? Wilt thou sanctify? Wilt thou remember that widow in that faraway country that has lost her son? Remember the family circle, Lord. Do remember all mourning ones, widows, widowers, and those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Then we also commend unto thee the widow of thy former servant, living in another place in the midst of another congregation. Then we commend her unto thee for body and soul in the climbing of her years. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for a rich blessing upon thy holy word, that in this very morning hour it may be thy time, the work of a triune God, that thy church may be greatly increased. Oh, do bless us, as thou wast promised in thy holy word, that thy word shall not return void unto thee. We may read after the day of Pentecost that thou wast daily added unto the church such as should be saved, and that thy church was even multiplied, worked so lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Ah, Lord, do grant that hastening for our life's sake. Thou knowest who are thine. Thou also knowest how they have come up to thy house, and thou knowest in the life of thy people that there can be those mysterious ways, there can be riddles, there can be questions. Thou hast a people upon the earth that learn that they are so dependent upon thee for everything, and that without thee they can do nothing. But with thee it is written in thy word that the apostle was given to exclaim that he could do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth him. Then it is so indispensable to be brought to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, to live through him and to live out of him, that threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. Lord, do grant that close and tender life with her eyes upon thee. Oh, we have heard out of thy holy word the exhortation to the church, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thou knowest that there can be souls That can be so, the question, whether thou wast truly begun, because there comes so much up against it. But, Lord, thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Thou beginneth, continueth, and finisheth thy work. May that also be experienced tokens thereof. In this very day, we commend thy church unto thee, and then by renewal another congregation, where thou wast spoken so loudly and so clearly, and much has already been done, but they can still not gather within their sanctuary in this day. They are called upon by renewal to gather in the school, divided into two groups, and it shall be a certain time. Remember all the families that are so overwhelmed. Wilt thou grant them a place at thy footstool? Lord, we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted. There are mothers amongst us with serious and with grave concerns, and we commend each unto thee. And a mother, we may acknowledge and thank thee that the hearts have been inclined, that already in this week the surgery may take place. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou help her together with her dear husband, and may it be for the purpose that the means may yet be blessed. And above all, oh, that the calling may be sanctified. Wilt thou so remember all under the physician's care? Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses and the burdens. We commend unto thee all our elderly ones in our care home, with those that may lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out, O Lord, above all things, when they still have an unsafe soul, and so close to eternity wonder doing God. Wilt thou also work lovingly and irresistibly in their old hearts, that their stiff knees, that they may be given to bow and to bend before the Almighty God, with the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, wilt thou dwell richly amongst us in this morning hour? Wilt thou grant help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion? And wilt thou go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, from dwelling to dwelling, those that may listen along, and that thou may manifest in special ways that thou knowest of us, and that with a profound impression all sinned away, undeserved, forfeited, may there have come up such a people to thy house. Lord, have then mercy upon us. That is our only hope and our only expectation. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 123, the three stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within, and what follows. Psalter 123, the three stanzas, and the extra collection today is for the school. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Hebrews 12, and there of verse 11, where God's word And our text reads thus. And now no chastening for the present, as seems to be joyous, but grievous. And nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Our text words speak of godly chastisement with three thoughts in the first place. The needed discernment. Secondly, the felt grievousness. And in the third place, the peaceable fruits. A godly chastisement, the needed discernment, the felt grievousness, and the peaceable fruits. Beloved congregation, we have heard last time from the fifth verse, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Then it was in the context of the first verses, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then we have heard that he was set forth for the church as an example and as the Savior. And now in verse 5, we read profound things of a church that they were forgetful. And then we read that special address, my son, congregation, have we now become a son and a daughter of the Almighty by God's free and sovereign grace? Has that wonder now taken place? When we have read this chapter, when we have heard it, and when we have heard that tender address, or are we so used to all those theological terms and those addresses that it does no longer sink in? But that term, as unto children, my son, that makes a separation. Because through our deep fall in Adam, then we are no longer children of the Almighty, but we are followers of the Prince of Darkness. But now through the work of a triune God, then the Lord has a people upon the earth, and the true child of God is given to examine themselves oftentimes concerning that work of the Spirit. And then the admonition was given, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Thus then the admonishment concerns two matters. In the first place, not to despise, and in the second place, not to faint. And now concerning chastisement, that is a very deep and a very profound subject. Then concerning that chastisement, then it speaks of tribulation, and then it speaks of suffering. And what a suffering there is upon the world. Boys and girls, it has not always been so. What a precious time. What a blessed time. It was in paradise for Adam and Eve. No cares, no fears, no troubles, but they were given to walk with their God and to praise Him perfectly. But in our covenant head, Adam, we have taken of that forbidden fruit, and so the whole world has been plunged into the greatest misery. What a suffering there is upon the world. We read in Job 14 verse 1, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And Moses, the man of God, in Psalm 90, then he speaks of strength and sorrow. And now concerning that suffering, we cannot fathom everything that goes on in the world. We see so little of much of the suffering upon the earth. Nevertheless, when we go to hospitals, prisons, institutions of mercy, if we would travel to the country of Ukraine and to the country of Israel, what a suffering would we would see and we would behold. To countries where there is civil war, countries where there is persecution. In that respect, then the Lord still blesses us richly. But that does not mean there is suffering. We think of the sick, of the afflicted, of the mourning. We think of the secret crosses, all behind closed doors and behind closed curtains. What a suffering there can be. And Solomon, in his prayer, with the dedication of the temple, then he has spoken each one with their own grief and with their own sore. And do we not read in the Lamentations of Jeremiah that he has expressed in chapter 1, verse 12, is it nothing to you that go by? Behold, the sorrow wherewith the Lord has afflicted me. Oh, it can seem that our own sore and our own grief, that it is the heaviest of all to bear, unbearable. But congregation upon this earth, then we would say there are always those that are suffering to a greater degree except one. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He could truly say, behold and see if there be a sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in his great anger. And now in this morning, concerning suffering and concerning chastisement, then we are all called to examine our lives, how it is when there is not so much suffering, when we are richly blessed, when at the moment our pathway may be smooth. Then we are also called to examine ourselves. Also, we hope to hear it, whether we are a son. Because we have heard it, there's no chastening, then we are not really a son. but now under the goodness and under all the mercies of the Lord, how is it now in our life? Where does that goodness bring us? Do those mercies bring us closer at the throne of grace, closer to His Word? And as we read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? And when the Lord grants us so many blessings, are there times that we are given to consider what we deserve? And are there also times that we may be given to bewonder all His mercies and all His goodness? For one, when we hear the holy law of God, that our sins are manifold. Of course, it is necessary to make a separation, and the Lord has a people that become exercised with those matters, to make a separation concerning the difficulties and the trials that the Lord sends upon us, to make a separation between chastisement and between punishment. Chastisement, that is fatherly, and that is given in love. And punishment, that is judicial, as a punishment for our sin. And there can be those souls when the Lord sends troubles and difficulties. Then they are given to examine it. And then they are given, to ask the Lord, Lord, may I now know that this difficulty is a chastisement and not a punishment, because with that knowledge, that I may have a proof that I am thy child, and thou hast begun the good work in me, Lord, then I can bear it so easy, because then I may have a badge of my childship, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that is so exercised with their souls. Thus a great distinguishment. The Lord punishes the unconverted with many troubles. And it is true. I read in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 2 that there is one offense to the righteous and to the wicked. Thus in that respect, on account of the consequences of sin, then the troubles are manifold. And there are times, because we read in God's Word, for a country, for a people, if we read the book Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the prophets, then it is clearly declared, when a people refuse to walk according to His Word and according to His law, and that they do not hearken to the admonishments, and the Lord is very patient. There's the general ray. Read Amos 4. There the prophet Amos has declared the different judgments that have come upon that people. And then each time by renewal we read, they repented not. And then we read those solemn words, prepare to meet thy Maker, O Israel. Thus the general way The Lord holds with his people first instruction, rebukes, lesser judgments, and then greater judgments. When we think of a country, think of the children of Israel because of their unbelief that people knew why they were wandering an extra more than an extra 38 years in the wilderness was because of their unbelief and the consequences of that unbelief because of that murmuring. And now for God's people, because there were also of God's people that have not entered into the promised land. Even the servant of the Lord Moses, he has never entered into the promised land, although he has seen it. Thus, when the Lord has visited for their transgressions, then for the converted, for God's children, then it was a chastisement, and then for the unconverted, it was a punishment. And now we read in our text, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And now concerning our troubles, difficulties, fears, cares, secret crosses, then we read in our text, unto them which are exercised thereby, and that concerns the living church of the living God, although the unconverted, when the Lord sends troubles and difficulties, then we also do well to examine our life. What is now the reason that the Lord is sending so many difficulties? Because we read many places in the Bible where it is clearly declared that in an outward way for our outward life, that upon a walking according to God's word, he has promised us special blessings, and when there is a departing and a despising of his word and of his law, then the Lord shall send great judgments. And now we read in our text words of a people that is chastised, and that they have those holy exercises concerning that chastisement. It is true. The Lord is free and the Lord is sovereign. There are times that in the sovereignty of the Lord, that the Lord sends special trials in the life of his dear people, in the first place, to test and try their faith. And in the second place, to set them more forth of his monuments of grace to their fellow man, that they are given to see that the Lord has a people that serve him not for reward, but that serve him for himself. We have the example of Job, clearly written in Job 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Job. He feared God, eschewed evil, and then how the Lord has afflicted him. One day, lost everything except his wife, on a pile of ashes, And then by the Spirit, what a precious testimony. In Job 1 verse 21, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it did not remain. Already in chapter 2 verse 8, we read in all these things that Job sinned not with his lips. Oh, in his heart became unsettled. Chapter 3, then he is cursed the day of his birth. And to that end, because the Lord has a people upon the earth, when they are chastised, that they are given to examine their heart and their life. Why the Lord is chastising them? Because the Lord does not chastise them for, we would say, infirmities. To give an example, when you have a family circle and the children help clean up the table and a dish is dropped, then such a child shall not be disciplined. But that chastisement, the Lord in his wisdom and in his justice, because it is a perfect chastisement when we have heard it in this chapter, then we must not make the wrong conclusion concerning natural fathers, where we read in verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastised us after their own pleasure, that we must not understand it in the wrong way. But then it is written in the margin that for a certain purpose, concerning that chastisement, it can also be in the life of the true church that the Lord sends special trials and special hedges, not easy for the flesh, but to keep him from sin and from temptation. Think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. Taken into the third heaven, seen unspeakable things. But that Paul would not glory in the flesh. And what a trouble God's people have with that awful pride. That he would not glory in the flesh. Then the Lord has given a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan that was given to buffet him. But now concerning that chastisement, then we read in our text words, to them that are exercised thereby. And now we have heard it, that the Father in his love, that he chastises all his children, and maybe a few souls, that saying this morning, at the moment, then I do not really have special troubles and trials. My way is smooth. Then you also have reason to examine yourself. How is it with your life? Is there that tender life? That dependent life? A God-glorifying life? A life that the congregation may be jealous of? Conformable to the image of Christ, then you have reason to rejoice. But if that is missing, and there is no chastisement, then you do well to examine according to this chapter, because in this chapter speaks especially of chastisement as a mark of grace in the verses 5 through 11. That word is mentioned 7 times. And then those solemn words, no chastisement. Then we are not a true son and daughter of the living God. And now we read specifically to them that are exercised thereby. And it is written, it is mentioned, not some sons and daughters, not most of them, but it is specifically mentioned that every son of the Almighty God is chastened. And it is remarkable, both in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language, then that word chastening, that has a double meaning. In the first place, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, then it means to be instructed, to be corrected, and in the second place, to be disciplined. That is one word. There's one word in the Hebrew language and one word in the Greek language. And those words both have that meaning. Thus, that already tells something of the purpose of chastisement. And now, for a son and a daughter, when they are chastised, then they do very well to examine their heart and their lives, what the reason is. There are times where it is very clear, when there are special sins that we have committed. Think of David, when he has taken Bathsheba and when he has killed Uriah. Oh, it is true. For 9 months, knew where he must come. But it has taken 9 months. The Lord has sent to Nathan even a parable to instruct that dear servant of the Lord. Thou art the man. Then oftentimes, when there is a special sin in our life, and it is a little tender and under chastisement, then when we shall try to bow our knees concerning those troubles and those afflictions, then that special sin shall rise up against us. It is a great blessing, to say it simply, in the life of God's true people, when that Nathan may be quickly sent. We have another example, a special example, because there is a difference. David has experienced much. With Saul, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it is true, also under those circumstances, it was a trial of faith and how deep that trial was. And in that trial, he has spoken unadvisably. Unbelief has even went to the king of the Philistines. But then David could say, Lord, I have not sought the kingship, but thou hast sent Samuel. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake. The eighth beatitude, a mark of the true child of God, do we not read in Revelation 7 that to old John on the island Patmos was given to see that multitude arrayed with long white garments with a palm hand? Who are these? They have come out of great tribulation. But now for David, with Bathsheba, but also at the end, toward the end of his life, in 2 Samuel 24, he has given commandment to the general Joab to number all his people. Joab has tried to persuade him not to go ahead. Nevertheless, the people were counted. And then it was a privilege in the life of David that his heart has smitten him. The Lord, as a general rule, he chooses his chastisements in his wisdom and his goodness for his people. And to that end, there can be those tender souls. Oh, if they may be assured that it is chastisement chosen by the Lord, his way, his time. Then they think, I am willing to bear everything because I have a mark that I am a son and I am a daughter. But with David, the Lord let him choose between three things. And then David has said, let me not fall into the hands of man, but into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are many. Thus to them that are exercised thereby, then the Lord sends special chastisements for special great sins, and even oftentimes there is a connection between their sin and chastisement to them that are exercised thereby. But not only, what are other reasons that the Lord chastises his dear people? That is, because of backsliding. Not that close, that tender life, let us first sing. Psalter 102, the five stanzas. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. And what follows, Psalter 102, the five stanzas. unto them which are exercised thereby. We read in Psalm 19 of David the Psalmist, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. What a blessed place for a child of God to be. And now concerning those exercises, when those true sons and daughters, when they are chastised, then it is so necessary for a close examination of their heart and life, that they may know the reason. And we have mentioned that there are times in the sovereignty of God, and a Job has asked the Lord in Job 10 verse 2, wherefore contendest thou with me? And there can be times with those trials, that can also be such a question for the church. Also, when decisions have been made, and when there come difficulties, whether it is now the Lord's frown, or whether it is the testing of their faith. Have examples in the Bible. Exodus 14. The children of Israel, they have been led out with a mighty hand, celebrated the Passover, have went out of Egypt with much goods. And then they have come before the Red Sea. Behind them Pharaoh and his army, and both sides mountains. And what was now the Lord saying to the children of Israel? Is it now a token of the Lord's disfavor? Have we done something wrong? And it is true. We all have many sins, much unbelief, much murmuring. But how it can be a question of such a soul, whether it is the frown of the Lord, his disfavor, or whether it is only the testing of their faith. Think of Matthew 14. Christ has constrained his disciples to go into the ship. It is true. They had too great a thoughts of Jesus being an earthly king after the feeding of such a multitude. But then Jesus has constrained his disciples to go into the ship. And then a great storm has come. Thus what a questions, but to them that are exercised thereby, and now for chastisement to be profitable, then it is necessary for such a soul close examination, searching the scriptures, and much prayer. I read in Micah 6 verse 9 that the prophet has said, the voice of the Lord crying to the city, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. And then our old fathers have said that upon that rod of the Lord in the way of chastisement, then there is something written. And then for the subject, then it is necessary that they are given to read what is written on that rod to them that are exercised thereby, to make it simple for our boys and girls. And I hope that you do your best also in the summer months to help your father and mother to obey them, to please them. And now if on a certain evening after supper, if you have done something bad, and father and mother says, child, you must go early to bed tonight, then you would know the reason. And you would understand that you have done wrong, that it is necessary for father and mother to discipline, also to pray with you, to instruct. But now on a certain day, and I hope there are many days, boys and girls, that you do your best, not a perfect boy and girl, but that you have done your best to help your parents and to obey and honor them. And then if they said, boy, girl, you must go to bed early tonight, and you, there would be no reason, you would not know the reason, that would not help you. And so it is in the life of a true child of God. To them that are exercised thereby, to be given to examine closely the reason, because the Lord chastens for a reason. Special sins, we have mentioned it in the life of David, but he also chastises when there is a backsliding. We read of that backsliding especially in the prophet Jeremiah. And what is now that backsliding? That is when the child, to know it better, then they can compare their life to at the beginning, one was also tender and so dependent and so close. Then the Lord did not have to tell such a one to come as the dove, oh my dove, the cleft of the rock in the secret places of the stairs. Let me hear thy voice and let me see thy countenance. For thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. But alas, in a time of backsliding, still form and duty, still reformed, can still speak of the truth, but the exercising in the things of the Lord, for that people, then that word can so easily remain closed. Of course, they'll set times. The prayer chamber becomes more form and duty. All concerning God's house, God's people know of those times. Such a longing, such a desire. That was a Bethel, of course, their place is not empty, but come so cold, leave so cold, that is a people that does not come to the Lord in sincerity and uprightness with their sins, particular sins. Oh, the confession of their sins, And then the Lord, He loves His people. He loves to hear them cry with all their riddles and with their questions, their perplexities, their needs, their desires. Oh, He loves them. Ask them for special tokens of His favor, and that the Lord may drop a sweet word, whether it's rebuke or whether it's consolation, a backsliding church. And now the Lord, in love to bring that child back in the right and proper place, then many times, because we have heard it from verse 5, spoken of those things in verse 5, then the apostle quotes Proverbs 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Ah, for that backsliding church, when the Lord grants so many blessings and so many gifts, when He sends them prosperity, then they can be so busy with other things that they are not at the throne of grace, no humble and no broken heart to them that are exercised thereby. And therefore the necessity, the Lord willing, perhaps, coming Lord's Day, we may continue. Thus we have mentioned two reasons, but there are more reasons why the Lord chasteneth His people. Then we have something to think, something to meditate upon. We have mentioned special sins, and especially when the Lord's name is dishonored and blasphemed. Think of 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. When Nathan has come, was especially added, that was given reason, that the enemy shall blaspheme the Lord. The Lord is jealous of His honor. Thus special sins, when we give reasons to the world concerning the Lord, His Son, His kingdom, the church, that it is mocked, but also in the way of backsliding. And there are more reasons, Lord willing, we can consider them the next week. And how is it now? What is our life? We have mentioned it, the goodness, the blessings of the Lord, and they are so manifold. Ah, oh, what a blessing it is. One may be used to bring us closer to His Word and for conversion, but also the trials, the difficulties, the crosses. Where does that bring us? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, do beg the Lord that by His grace, oh, place yourself faithfully under the means of grace. Fathers and mothers, instruct your children. Place yourself where the Lord by His Spirit, where He gathers those sons and daughters, where He grants them new hearts, they receive faith, hope, and love, but they need to be instructed, and also in the way of chastisement to them that are exercised thereby. Our third point was peaceable fruits. In those ways they learn lessons, that are not learned elsewhere. People of God, how is it in our life concerning the Lord's blessings, concerning the trials and tribulations? We shall end with the prayer of David in Psalm 6, verse 1, where he was tried, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Offer God's people in the way of chastisement when they may come to the right place. Then they shall be given to confess, Lord, thou wast not chastised me as I deserve. Ezra 9, verse 13, not punished us according as our iniquities deserve, but, ach, Lord, a Groenewegen from the Netherlands, he is written in a certain place for the true child of God. Tis not so easy for the flesh when they are rebuked. Tis more difficult when they are smitten with the rod. But what should now be the most difficult for the true child of God? The most unbearable. That is when the Lord is silent. The Lord add his blessing. Amen. Lord, we have heard of those that are exercised thereby, and that is also the work of thy Spirit, a fruit of the meditorial work of thy dear Son, and also the work of the Father, to each time by renewal. Oh, what a patience thou hast for a wayward, and even under chastisement, the rebellion in the heart and murmuring. But, O Lord, thou hast loved them from eternity, and thou lovest them still. May it be the concern of us and our children to be a son, a daughter, a chosen one, a purchased one, a regenerated one, but also one that may have a close life with thee. Lord, watch over us on this Sabbath day. And wilt thou bring us together in this evening hour? Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter 440. The stanzas 2 and 3. Will the Lord cast off forever ties of covenant friendship sever? Will he show his face no more as he did in days of yore? Will the word to Israel spoken by our fathers God be broken? And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a mission presentation on Tuesday evening in the Calvin Christian School at 7:30 p.m. And the Rock Valley Collection brought up the total of $186,785, for which we next do the Lord heartily thank the congregation. Psalter 440, the stanzas 2 and 3. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.